You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And let's look ahead now to the two big races tomorrow. The Grade 1 up at Newcastle, the fighting fifth. Boulevard Adair taking on Sam Crowe. But first, let's have a look at the Ladbrokes Trophy, formerly the Hennessy at Newbury, going off at 3 o'clock. Gentlemen, you guys are the experts. Luke, starting with yourself, where do you see the Ladbrokes Trophy going tomorrow?
Well, one of 13, but it's a disappointing turnout. I mean,
it's one of the lowest for a long time, isn't
it? I don't remember a field this small a Hennessy, as it was known back in the day. And I mean, usually we can get a little bit excited that potentially there's a horse that's going to improve to be a Gold Cup horse. And there's nothing really in the race that I'd think, wow, that would give Native River a race, or that would give Might Bite a race. And it just doesn't really leap off the page. But we do have some rock-solid handicappers. I mean, the likes of Elegant Escape, he'd probably be my most likely idea of the winner. Obviously, he's got that penalty for winning at Sandown, beating Thomas Patrick, who reopposes, and at the time recording is the head of the market. I mean, Terrafor jumped awfully that day. He forgot how to be a racehorse entirely, and it was a disaster from start to finish. But Elegant Escape is the sort of horse that would meet the demands of a Ladbrokes Trophy. He's a strong stayer. He jumps well on the whole. If he gets into rhythm, I think he'll be hard to beat. But there's one at a massive price that really stuck out to me the other day at the entry stage, and that's Richard Hobson's Alison Monturk, who is a horse that I've loved for a long, long time, even back as a novice hurdler. I saw Alison Monturk at Cheltenham behind Champers and Ice, who, at the time, Champers and Ice was a very good novice hurdler himself. He went to Leicester, won after that when odds on, and then was sixth, running an absolute stormer in the Albert Bartlett behind You Know What I Mean, Harry. Then injuries have stepped in. He had one run at Cheltenham in a handicap the following season, then 456 days off the track. He's come back in grand form, though. I mean, he came back with a win. He then went to Cheltenham and was unplaced when pulled up behind presenting Percy in the RSA. That was biting off a bit more than he can chew, especially at that stage in his career. Going to Cheltenham with one chase run under your belt just over a month before the race is never ideal. It was a bit of a rushed sort of thing. But last time out, I was impressed with him at Perth once again. He looks as if he's finally just beginning to come to terms with things, and he's getting on with everything. I mean, he's an 8-year-old, but he's very lightly raced. He's only ran 10 times. But off a mark of 144, he's the one that, in this race for me, he looks as if he could be very well handicapped. I think he's around 25-1, so if there's something at a massive price that's going to really outrun their expectations, it's Alison Monturk for me.
Alison Monturk is 25-1 with us at the time of recording here at William Hill. Andy?
Yeah, fair play to Luke for coming up with a smidgen of value in the race that I personally hadn't looked at. I do like Alison Monturk. Not sure whether he's quite good enough to win a Ladbroke, but time will tell. At least it's a bold shout. Whereas I'm going to rather boringly go down the front end of the market. I've had a couple of bets already in the race, so I'm not deviating from what I've already done. I have backed Elegant Escape. He looked blatantly obvious. I mean, as the saying goes, it looks like a duck, sounds like a duck, walks like a duck, usually is a duck, isn't it? And he just ticks every single box you look for a Hennessy winner. Yes, he's a second season chaser for a start off. But he's also got very, very good Newbury form. It's no coincidence his two best runs in his life ever have come over big, wide-open galloping tracks where he can really open up. Exeter was one of them last year when he beat Ramsey de Tay in bottomless ground. And when he beat Black Corton here last year, his defeats have been meritorious. There's excuses for them, albeit they've been very good and very high-class Grade 1 events when he was third to presenting Percy in the RSA and, of course, third to Terrafor at Aintree. But those sort of tighter tracks, even Cheltenham to a degree around the inside track, probably wouldn't be as beneficial to him other than Newbury, big flat, wide open galloping course. I thought he was good when he came back at Sandown. He's had a wind operation in between times. He's had a run as well, which is crucial. The ground is going to be,
didn't he?
Yeah, the ground is going to be absolutely desperate here tomorrow. They're racing on it today. It's good to sock soft in places. The forecast, if you look at it, is literally biblical for all tonight and into tomorrow. So it's going to be soft, straight, heavy in places. It's right up this horse's alley. All he does is gallop, stay, sticks his head out. He represents a stable that won it with Native River. He's a similar type to Native River. Native River's not the flashiest, but he just gets the job done. He's a grinder. I think that's what you're going to need. So I think he's the number one, my number one choice, obviously. But the other one is this Miss Parfois. Now, if you're looking for pure class form,
yep,
I think she arguably, other than Elegant Escape, has got the similar credentials. Amazingly, this horse has chalked up at 20-1 in the anti-post lists. Bookmakers, I think, have definitely dropped their
5-1 with us.
Well, that's, I wouldn't say that's the price she should have been in the first place, but I don't know if she could have been a 20-1 shot. It. I mean, she's a dual listed winner. She was second to Black Horton in the Reynolds Town. She stayed 4 miles in soft ground at Cheltenham beyond Rathvinden. And then she was second to Terrifor at Aintree, beating Elegant Escape. So just strictly on that run, Elegant Escape was a 6-7-1 shot anti-post. How can this be 20? It made no sense. She also is going to have her bottomless conditions. We know she stays well. Smaller field will help her as well. Up to now, she's only raced largely in smaller fields. But she's snuck in there quite nicely. She's had a wind operation. That might actually bring about even more improvement. I found it very hard to split these two when I looked at the Mounty Post. I've backed both of them. I'm glad they're there. And I'm glad they've got a small field as well. And all the Irish sneaky monkeys have avoided it. William Mullins and Gornelli. I think they had about 10-12 entries between them. And not one of them have been represented, which is amazing.
What was it with Ken Boyd that they couldn't get him onto a ferry to travel over or something?
I know.
Well, yeah. Sam Crowe's at Newcastle, isn't he? So yeah. Gordon Elliott's had no troubles with that, but I assume it was to a different destination with Ken Boyd. But
I just don't feel as though they want to run for one reason or another.
Who was the horse that is it Supreme Horse Racing Club that owned Ken Boyd? Because they had a horse. Yep. I'm sure they've had horses in this race for the last 2 or 3 years, and each year they've said, "Yeah, this is going to come. This is going to go and win." And then they pull it out late on in the day. I can't remember who the horse was last year, 2 years ago. It was a filly or a mare. And late on, they pulled her out after they really fancied her.
Right.
But it's either rotten luck or whatever else. But it must be frustrating for them.
Well, I can't understand William Mullins not running one of his horses. I mean, he had horses like Rathvinden in it.
Yep.
Obviously, Ken Boyd, that's one of those things.
Well, you thought this would be the race that the bigger trainers would be all over, like Willie Mullins or Gordon Elliott would send 3 or 4.
250 grand race.
I was really interested to see Don Poley was in this at the entry stage about a week ago. I thought he probably wouldn't have won it, but this race would meet the demands of him perfectly.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to go a good gallop. I mean, you've got Go Conquer in there, West Approach to go forward, Alison Montague will probably go forward, Sizing Tennessee, Beware the Bear will try, Black Corton will, The Young Master will, Miss Parfois will be up there, Elegance. There's so much pace in this. We've got 13 runners. I'd say more than half of them want to go forward. I mean, we could have a real burn-up over the first few fences and it'll separate the boys from the men. I mean, we saw with the BetVictor Gold Cup a few weeks ago, we had 6 finishers. I mean, I don't want to tempt fate and touch wood it doesn't happen, but it could be a similar sort of thing that happens at Newbury, where mistakes happen early on because they go in such a fast pace and horses are out of their comfort zones. Again, we don't have that many finishers, but there's so much pace in this in the Ladbrokes Trophy.
You know which horse, should I say, I think could run relatively decent.
I'm going to look for the northern horse here.
There
isn't one.
No.
Okay.
I'll tell you what I do think will run well, and I'm interested to get your thoughts here, but I think American could run well for Harry Fry.
He's just too brittle for me.
Really?
He's
it's about 11-1 with us here. I
think he's on record to say he's got glass legs.
Yeah.
Right. He got pulled up in the race 12 months ago.
He was awful. He was one of the fancies. He quite rightly was a fancy off the back of 3 wins a year before. Mm-hmm. Everything seemed in his favour. Second season chase, good time figures. He literally puked himself. Mm. He missed the break. He went to the first. There was like 20 runner field. He went, "Oh, I don't fancy this." And he never got into a rhythm. And I think it kind of, his season spiralled out of control after then. I mean, yes, okay, he ran a better in a small field at Cheltenham when he could see his fences.
Second winning in the Cotswold.
Yeah, I I wouldn't trust him as far as I could throw him. I think he's got a ton of talent, but I just don't think he's got the heart, and I don't think he's got the body and the physical constitution to grind his way throughout to win a Ladbrokes.
Saying that, good to see Onyera O'Connor getting a big ride.
That's a she's claiming five, isn't she?
Yeah, she's a very good £5 claimer with Harry Fry, but it's good to see her getting a big ride. I mean, I backed American in this 12 months ago. I thought he was a really good bet in the race.
Went off at 5-1 12 months ago, didn't he?
I mean, the ground's going to come up perfect for him with that rain tomorrow.
Another positive.
That will be ideal for him. But I'm like Andy. I just get the feeling that American's going to be a nearly horse now.
Really?
Yeah, I think his chances has been and gone. I mean, I hope I'm wrong because he's a lovely horse and on his day, he's awesome. I mean, that day at Warwick when he beat Champers and Ice, as easy as he liked, he was terrific. And then he went and won that big handicap chase at Uttoxeter, beating Rock the Casbah by 8 lengths. And he didn't just beat Rock the Casbah, he absolutely pulverised him. He made Rock the Casbah look ordinary. I mean, we know that American is a very good horse, but he needs to start showing that again now.
And I'd agree with that. It does need to start showing that again. And what I will say is that I take on board your comments, but I am going to have a small each way bet on American at 11-1.
Yeah, I mean, he's double figure prices. I mean, he's not a horse you could say categorically he can't win because the three pieces of evidence in his performances that say he can. But the three recent pieces of evidence, i.e., the pulled up and the no show on his last start last year in the Gold Cup, suggests that he's got a hole in him. Now, you want the right price backing a horse who's got a hole in him. I'd probably want 20-1 upwards for a horse with a hole in him. I think this is a good betting race because bookmakers will puff their chest out. It's a big race on Saturday. Ladbrokes, for instance, I think they'll probably go five plays. Some firms will want to be absolutely dumb and give you know, punters who haven't had an account with them to attract them in to have a bet. So it's a big opportunity for them. They'll give four or five. I don't think there'll be six places because of only 13 runners. But five places, can you imagine Elegant Escape not being in the first five?
Would you make American, if you were going to bet American, a win-only bet?
No. Yeah. You can't back him each way.
He'd be pulled up at the cross fence again.
Absolutely,
For me, anyway.
Just before we talk about the fighting fifth gent, just confirm your selections again, please. So, Andy?
Like I say, I've had two. I've split mistakes, Elegant Escape and Miss Parfa. I'll be gutted if one of those two don't win.
Luke?
I think Elegant Escape is the most likely winner, but I think Alison Monterg represents huge each way value.
At 25-1 with us here at the time of recording, and despite what you say, I'm still going to say each way American. Right, let's look ahead to what's happening at Gosforth Park tomorrow. It's their biggest day of the jump season. It's the Grade 1 Fighting Fifth, and everybody is excited about this prospect because there was talks of, is Sam Crowe going to come over to Newcastle? Is he not, etc.? But he is going to make the trip. It's Bouvardet versus Sam Crowe. Luke?
I'm going to start off with a quiz question.
Okay.
Because I did a quiz for another podcast last night, and it was revolving around Sam Crowe. Of course, like, he won the Ballymore last year. Mm-hmm. Who was the last horse to win the Ballymore or the Neptune, as it was then known, to then next season go and win the Fighting Fifth?
Oh, that's a good one. Win the Ballymore. Would it be the horse of Freddie Murphy's?
No.
Strong, the one that got killed?
No.
Under Thornton Road?
Nope.
How far back are we going?
Not that far back. Within the last 10 years.
Right.
So within the last 10 years. So what did he do?
Won the Neptune.
He won the Neptune, then the following season won the Fighting Fifth.
Was he trained by Donald McCain?
Correct.
Oh, right.
Right then.
Peddler's Cross.
Yeah. And the Tim Leslie Silks.
And it was run at Newbury that year because Newcastle was
good
abandoned.
One. Good one.
But the other,
and he was northern trained.
the other interesting thing I found about that race going back, I mean, the other quiz question was the last Supreme Novices winner to win it the year after, which was Go Native. Go Native had exactly the same prep for this race in the sense that he got beaten by Vola Lavadette in the WKD hurdle, which at the time might have been a little bit of some sort of a surprise. Not quite as big as Sam Crowe getting beaten by Bedrock, but Sam Crowe has beaten in the exact same race. Now, I'm not really one to dive too much into those stats. It's just a cute little segue into talking about Sam Crowe. But I think Bouvardet at 6-5 is one of the bets of the season tomorrow.
Okay.
Like, I like Sam Crowe. I'm just not fully signed up to him yet. his Ballymore form is good. I mean, he beat Black Op, a horse that I very much like, and he beat Next Destination, a horse who's running over the wrong trip. And the rest are much of a muchness, in all honesty, except for the likes of Vision Day Flow, who probably didn't run his race that day. So I don't want to get too carried away with Sam Crowe. I mean, you go back to, was it Leopardstown winning the Deloitte when he beat Duke de Geneva? That looks, again, solid form. Nothing in his actual form would suggest to me that this is a real champion hurdle horse. I mean, if he wasn't running in Jigginstown's colours, if he wasn't trained by Gordon Elliott, you'd still be a little bit tentative about things. I mean, I think it's case in point by taking in Somerville Boy, who's currently a 4-1 chance. He's trained by Tom George. Somerville Boy won the Supreme, making as many mistakes as you like. He has got a huge engine on him. The fact that he's 4-1, I think, I don't think there's that much between himself and Sam Crowe, in all honesty. Saying that, I think Bouvardet's exceptional. I've always loved Bouvardet. I mean, I was the melon that was stuck with 14-1 on him for the JLT when he was winning the champion hurdle. How far would he have won the JLT by that? But he was underwhelming in the champion last year. I think part of that, I don't want to slate Nicky Henderson too much, but he pretty much said it himself. I don't think he was that well campaigned last year. I mean, he ran in the Contenders Hurdle, a race that Nicky Henderson loves. I mean, Binocular ran in that every year before running in the Champion Hurdle. He ran against two other horses. Barry Geraghty gave him the easiest time possible, and then Nicky Henderson afterwards came out and said, well, I wish he had more of a race. Take him to Leopardstown.
Yeah,
there's a big grade one over there. Take him there instead. I hope he does that. He's not going to. But, I mean, last year before he ran at Cheltenham, he had run three times. He'd taken on four rivals, three rivals, and two rivals. Hardly an ideal prep for a champion hurdle, and there's a chance that he went there somewhat undercooked, potentially. He's had the breathing operation, which in this day and age, especially first run of the season, generally horses might not need it. It's just to tighten things up a little bit. But, I mean, if you go back to a couple of champion hurdles ago, he was awesome in 2017, beating My Tent or Yours. He was absolutely brilliant with...
Remember it well.
...with Noel Feely on. I mean... He absolutely bolted up in the Fighting Fifth here last year, beating Irving. He's going to have a tougher assignment this year with Sam Crowe and Somerville Boy. But, I mean, this is an out-and-out grade one horse. I think he's 6-5 at the moment. I haven't seen a price so far yet in the jump season that I think is better than that. I think Bouvardet should be fairly heavy odds on.
I think what we need to mention as well, and I'm not quite sure if it's still classed as a Triple Crown. I know it used to be once upon a time. Andy, you might be able to help us out with this. But effectively, Bouvardet won the Triple Crown last year, which is the Fighting Fifth, the Christmas Hurdle, and the Champion Hurdle.
He did.
But the unrecognised Triple Crown, because obviously now it's all about the Betfair Chase, the King George and the Gold Cup. But that is effectively, or was, you know, was known as a Triple Crown as well.
Yeah, I think... He's got to be given a huge amount of credit, Bouvardet. He's one of these horses because of the weakness in the competition in this division the last couple of years that he hasn't really been vaunted as much as he should have done, really. Expertly campaigned by Nicky Henderson with a horse like this, as he often does, going back to the Sea of End days many, many moons ago, with a horse that he just kind of plotted his way through and built him up to at the Champion Hurdle in March. We'll soon see what he's made of tomorrow, because this, I think, is a more severe test than he's ever faced first time out. He beat Irving last year, I think, if I remember right.
He was 1-6.
Yeah, and Sam Crowe and Somerville Boy make up two of the major, major leading contenders in the Champion Hurdle this season.
What do you make of Sam Crowe class-wise?
I must admit, I thought it was the right decision, I think, to at least give him a chance to go down this route. And I think it was a little bit inconclusive. At the time, I thought Downrawl, it wasn't a particularly awe-inspiring run. But having gone back and done the time figure and then seen Sharjah win out of the race, and the way the race developed, Sharjah and Sam Crowe were taking each other on and they set it up for Bedrock. I think he's a very interesting contender tomorrow, Sam Crowe. He's had the run. He'll love the ground. He stays well. And I think it's... I think they're deciding to pitch him in this because they want to find out sooner rather than later whether Sam Crowe is a champion hurdle horse.
Yeah.
They've got to throw him in the deep end and avoid all the cakewalks at home.
Yeah. I hate that about horse racing at the moment. Mm. The fact that too many trainers and owners are happy to not take each other on until Cheltenham.
Yeah.
And you get to Cheltenham and it's just, well, great.
Yeah, yeah. Well, one of should you happened earlier on in the season.
Yeah, one of you won't show up. I mean, it's bad, but in the back of my mind, when Sam Crowe was confirmed for going for the Fighting Fifth, I thought, well, Bouvardet might not run in it now. He might go and he might go somewhere else and try and avoid Sam Crowe, which would have been ridiculous. I'm delighted he is here. I just don't see anything other than Bouvardet winning.
Question for you. Question for both of you. If things don't go according to plan on Saturday afternoon for Sam Crowe, do you think they may look to go chasing with him this season?
I think so.
Okay.
I think they'll know where they stand after Saturday. I think we're going to learn a lot about this race. We're going to learn more about Sam Crowe than we are Bouvardet. We know Bouvardet's going to run his race. He goes really well fresh. Mm-hmm. He won this race in a canter last year. Mm. Nicky Henderson won't have any stone unturned with this fella, you know, because he only runs two or three times up to the festival. So he's going to be there cherry ripe. So if Sam Crowe doesn't beat him to when he gets battered,
okay,
where do you go with Sam Crowe? He's got beaten first time at odds on Down Royal against his own horses in his own backyard, uh-huh, and then he's got beaten by the champion hurdler. He's got to at least give the favourite a massive race, if not beat him, to be a viable champion hurdle contender. I've actually backed Somerville Boy for the champion hurdle. Yeah.
What price is he?
14 to 1.
14. Okay. I backed him for last year's Supreme, actually.
Well, so did I.
That's a horrible after time. That is massive a horrible after time. Both of you are disgraceful human beings.
But, I mean, Luke's already pointed it out. For that horse to overcome not only one mistake, but two bone-crunching errors, one which wasn't his fault. The first one, the second last, was just a skirmish, and he got knocked
well,
backwards.
He lost about five lengths as well. I mean, it wasn't just like half a length
no,
he lost.
I know.
Like, he lost all chance in that race. There was no way he can now win that race.
At the time, I thought, if I get a place, I'm lucky.
Yeah.
And then to come back, make a mistake at last, and still beat Kalashnikov, mm-hmm, and the likes of...
Again.
Clayton Takenfogan, Lost in Translation, Meglia Khan... You've got to be a top class horse, and his time figure, mm-hmm, was exactly the same as Bouvardet half an hour later. So he's run the same time as what Bouvardet did in beating Mellon, and he only scraped home. So I think he's the only value left in the champion hurdle, and the pressure's not on him tomorrow. He doesn't have to win. It's his first one of the season. If he wins, great, but if he doesn't, I still think Tom George would be delighted. So I haven't had a bet in the race tomorrow, but I'm hoping Somerville Boy works himself into a champion hurdle contender.
William Hill Racing Radio is now available on your smart speaker. Just tell it to play Racing Radio via TuneIn and leave the rest to us. William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
I'm delighted to say that I am joined here by Jamie McBride. He's one of the traders at William Hill. Jamie, a very good afternoon to you. Very nice to meet you. How are you? Well?
Good. Yeah, good to be here, Bobby. Thank you.
It's obviously a huge day of racing tomorrow. How's it been for yourself and other traders pricing it all up?
It's been a very busy week. Obviously, we've got Newbury today and Fairy House Sunday. So it's not just all about tomorrow. So it's been a busy week all the way leading up to the weekend.
We'll talk about the Ladbrokes Trophy. We actually said earlier on, it's actually the smallest field in a very long time. But just looking in the market in particular this week, I've noticed that with us here, Thomas Patrick, the Tom Lacey runner, has been supported, you know, sixes into 4-1.
Yep, he's been the most popular horse probably the last 48. Well, him and Elegant Escape since we started betting on it, but particularly the last few days, Thomas Patrick's been the best backed. The yard can do no wrong at the moment, and if the bias continues, that would suit him because he'll be one of the ones that wants to get on with it from the start tomorrow. Like I say, the yard can do no wrong, so he's likely to be the worst result come race time, I would imagine.
And Miss Parfois, the Anthony Honeyball mare, Aidan Coleman, on board. I'm seeing support for her. I suppose the thing is with her, we said earlier on the podcast with Andy Holding, you know, she's been running some fantastic races, and, you know, she runs tomorrow for the first time after a wind-up.
Yes, she's another one who's been popular the last sort of 10 days or so since she worked at Newbury in a racecourse gallop. She might want a bit more rain to fall. There is showers forecast.
Plenty of rain forecast, isn't there?
Yeah, any rain would suit her. Maybe slight negative that she hasn't had a run like some of the other principals. But she was really solid last year, tough.
Mm-hmm.
Should be suited by going handicap, and she should she could well run a big race.
What about the young master? We've seen much support for him. Obviously, effectively, he's going for the hat-trick of wins. He's undefeated this term.
Yeah, he's getting back to his best. He has been well-backed, but unlike Miss Parfoy, he might be one that wouldn't want there to be rain. But he's another horse who likes to get on with it, be up with a pace, which has suited horses at Newbury today. So he's definitely not without a chance.
My each-way selection here, and I might get... I don't know about a laugh from you as such, I don't know if that's the right term or phrase, but basically... Earlier on the podcast with Luke and with Andy, they basically told me why I shouldn't be backing this horse. But I think, and for me, if you say to me now, Bobby, what is your selection for the Ladbrokes Trophy tomorrow? I'm going to take a small each way bet on American for Harry Fry, of course. We know 12 months ago he was pulled up in the race, a good second after that in the Cotswolds behind it, Deathly Red, and well down the field in the Cheltenham Gold Cup back in March. For me, I think tomorrow he's got his ground, you know, £5 off the back as well. And I think around about 11 to 1 with us, I think he could be a good each way. That's my opinion.
No, that certainly wouldn't put you off. On his this time last year, I think he was sent off favourite and was a potential Gold Cup horse. Things went wrong in the Hennessy, but he ran well after that in the Cotswold chase. Like I say, any further rain would suit. It's been a late decision to come here. He was also in the rehearsal chase at Newcastle. But they've taken the braver option and gone for the Ladbrokes Trophy. And, there's another one with an each-way chance in an open race.
You know, Beware the Bear, have we seen much support for him, the Nicky Henderson run? Because I wouldn't be surprised if he was to crop up into places here, you know.
We haven't laid much of him, but that's been purposeful because we've been on the right side of him all week. He's actually my each-way selection in the race. He probably wouldn't be good enough to win a normal Ladbrokes Trophy, but this isn't the greatest renewal.
No, agreed.
But he's had a wind up. They're trying cheek pieces for the first time. He's notoriously lazy horse, but it looks as though they're throwing the kitchen sink at getting him ready first time out. He's not badly handicapped on the best of his form. And, he'd be my selection in the race.
Luke put up a big each way, currently 25 to 1 with us here. Alison Monte, the Richard Hobson runner, James Bowen on board. And he put up a really good case why he thinks this horse, one, is a huge price. And two, why he thinks the horse can run well. Now, me and Andy checked the forecast earlier on for the rain, and there is a lot of rain due overnight, which could change a lot of goings. And for him, you know, when the rain arrives, that's going to be well in his favour.
It is, yep. He hasn't been friendless. He's certainly been nibbled at sort of big prices, 33 to 1, 40 to 1 early in the week. It's a bit disappointing that he was sort of well beaten in the RSA, which has sort of been his stiffest task to date. That would worry me, that the one time he's been upped in grade, he's struggled. But he hasn't had loads of racing over fences, and he's not one you would totally discount.
That was the big each way from Luke. That was his each way selection. Obviously, as well with Ladbrokes Trophy, if we go further up north, up to Gosforth Park, up to Newcastle, that's the grade one of the day, isn't it? The fighting fifth hurdle. And of course, it's a big duel. Everyone's saying it's Bouvardet versus Sam Crowe. From a trader perspective, in terms of market support, and how's that market shaping?
It's been quiet so far. It's been
really?
Okay. I've been surprised by the lack of support for Sam Crowe. Since he was confirmed a runner and since we've gone non-runner money back, I expected the market to move in his favour, but so far it hasn't.
No, it's interesting there. Just confirming here, Jack Kenny on board the Gordon Elliott runner. I think with Sam Crowe as well, that there was the uncertainty, wasn't there, with Sam Crowe. Is he going to make the trip over from Ireland? Is he not? Is he going to stay at home? And obviously, it's great that he is turning up. But Bouvardet, you know, we were talking about this, and you know, he's quite a decent price, I think.
Well, I would disagree. I think he could even be bigger tomorrow.
Do you think he'll drift?
I would surprised there hasn't been money for Sam Crowe yet.
You think that could change the market?
I think so. I think he's got such a big reputation. There's so much hype around the horse that I would personally be surprised if the market didn't move a little bit closer together.
That's interesting there. See how the market would unfold. What about Somerville Boy? Anybody interested in him?
Yeah, he has been well backed.
Has he? Okay.
Yeah, he's impressive winner of the Supreme. If he jumped the last two hurdles better, he could have won that Supreme by 4 or 5 lengths. And on ratings, he hasn't got a great deal to find. His jumping would be a worry because that Supreme, it wasn't the first time that he jumped a bit sloppily. Mm-hmm. He missed a few out in the Tolworth at Sandown as well. And at his first run as well, so his jumping will have to be sharp, but you certainly wouldn't rule him out. Personally, the betting at the moment, you could almost have Sam Crow and Somerville Boy coupled, get you to almost the same price as Boo Boo Dare.
Okay.
Personally, I'd much rather have those two running for me than the favourite.
What would be, I think it's hard to, I suppose here we're going purely on a prediction, but for you, what would be a bit of a bad result for the fighting fifth? Would it depend on how much money comes in for Sam Crow tomorrow or later on tonight?
It would. I think there'll be money for Sam Crow, but you'll lay plenty of Boo Boo Day. He's got lots of ones by his name. It's Henderson, McManus, dual champion hurdle winner. So from a trading point of view, you probably want to lay them both and have Somerville Boy running for you, I would think, and maybe Bedrock as well. I can't really see him winning, but you've sort of got him running for you as well. But you want to lay the front two and have Somerville Boy on your side, I think, from a trading point of view.
That'd be the way to play it.
Yep.
And what would be a bad result for you in the Ladbrokes Trophy? Would it be a Thomas Patrick getting the job done?
I think he's shaping up as if he's going to be the worst result. It wouldn't be a surprise if he went off a well-back sort of 11-4, 3-1 chance. As I said, the yard can do no wrong at the moment.
And is there anything else tomorrow at all that was being backed or drifted or surprised? Are there any predictions from you?
In terms of predictions, I like Beware for Bear in the Ladbrokes Trophy and elsewhere in the weekend. I'm a big fan of Off You Go in the big handicap hurdle at Fairy House on Sunday. Mm-hmm. That's the big betting race on Sunday. It's Charles Burns, JP McManus, very progressive. He went up £9 for his last win, but they're taking £7 off. Mm-hmm. He could go off a very, very well back favourite in that race.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.